Well, we are continuing this morning our series looking at the four songs that we find at the start of Luke's Gospel. If you were here a couple of weeks ago, you might remember Andrew Dow taking us through Mary's song, a song that is often known as the Magnificat. But we saw how Mary sung about the mercy of God. Then last week, it was Zechariah's song where we... Oh, that's gone quiet, hasn't it? I'll turn this one on. Last week, it was Zechariah's song where we were singing about God's salvation. Then next week, we'll be thinking about Simeon's song and seeing how he sings about God's chosen one. But today, in Luke chapter 2, we're looking at the song of the angels as they sing about God's glory. And let me say, I am just going to really focus on verse 14, literally just the song that the angels sing today. And that's for two reasons. It's partly because there's quite a lot in it. I want to make sure that we think about it well. It's also because we're going to come back to this passage on a few occasions between now and Christmas. And you will, I think, by Christmas have heard the whole passage being expounded properly. So just the one verse to look at the song of the angels today. But as we've been seeing over these last few weeks, these songs aren't just recorded for us to have a record of what happened. They're not just recorded as lyrics for us to study or anything like that. They're songs that we're invited to join in. The real point of these passages is that we see the songs on the lips of Mary or Zechariah or the angels, and as we do, we join in ourselves. That in good times, we sing for joy about God's mercy and God's salvation and God's glory and above all, God's Christ. But also in the dark times, perhaps when we've had bad news from our employer or our doctor or a member of our family or the newspaper or a government press conference to update us on COVID. When we've had bad news, when we're feeling in darker times, the hope is that these songs will keep being sung, because they sing about good news that no amount of bad news can cancel out. And today's song is the simplest. It fits into that one verse. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. And what this song does is celebrate two things. Two things that the birth of Jesus caused, or two great purposes of God in sending Jesus to be born in a manger in Bethlehem. Let's take them one at a time. The first one is glory to God in the highest. And you don't need to repeat me as I say that. The first thing that the birth of Jesus did was bring glory to God. Now, what does that mean? What does glory mean? Glory is all about God's character. It's about his goodness, his mercy, his love, his wisdom, his generosity, his power. Glory is about all of that being put on show and celebrated. So it's about God's character being made visible, but not only being made visible, also being delighted in. Now, throughout the Bible, we see a number of different things that do that, a number of different things that demonstrate and celebrate the character of God. One of the most important is the physical universe that we're in. Oh, hello. You might think of Psalm 19, which says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork." So the idea there is that when we look to the sky or perhaps to a clear night, we are blown away by the sheer number of the stars that we can see. Or on another night, we might be amazed by the beauty of the sunset. The idea is that when we look to the sky and we see something that moves us, what we're really being moved by is something of God's power and beauty and generosity and wisdom being put on show. But there are other things in the Bible. It's not only the created world that do that, that demonstrate God's glory. You might think of the times when we read of the enemies of God's people being defeated in battle. That shows us something of who God is. But far above all of these, there are two things that most show God's glory in the Bible. One is the death of Jesus on the cross. Do you remember how Jesus speaks of it in John's Gospel? He says, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. His death on the cross is the Son of, is his glory. So one of the greatest things in the Bible that shows the glory of God is Jesus' death on the cross. But the other is what we've got in our passage today, the birth of Jesus. So the first thing that the angels are singing about is that as Jesus is born, the fact that God is good and merciful and loving and wise and generous and powerful, the fact of God's character is shown publicly and beyond doubt in an absolute and incontrovertible global way. The angels are singing, look, doesn't that baby show you how good God is? Think about it for a moment. There are so many ways in which the birth of that baby shows us something of God's goodness. Firstly, the fact that it happened at all shows us that God is still committed to his people who have forsaken him. He could very easily never have bothered. The fact that God gave something as precious as his son, I mean, what more costly gift could there possibly be? That shows us something of how generous he is. The fact that Jesus was born as a vulnerable baby shows his compassion as he joins vulnerable people like us. The fact that he was born to a nondescript, out-of-the-way town, to an ordinary and humble girl, that shows something of his grace and his humility. And the list goes on. There are so many ways in which this birth gives proof of God's goodness. And we so need to remember that. Because there are times when we won't feel that God is good. It might be because of our circumstances. There'll be times when we do feel that God is good, and there'll be times that we don't. Times that we do, it might be that things are going particularly well in our family, and we're delighted to hear of our grandchildren or children doing really well at school. Times when just everything falls into place, and it's great, and we go, yeah, God is good. Or it may be that actually it's not just our circumstances, but we've been particularly gripped by some truth in God's word, and perhaps we feel especially close to him in a time of prayer or a time of sung worship. So there will be times when we do feel that God is good, but there are often times we don't feel that, when things aren't going right, and when the Bible just seems like words on the page, and when our prayers just seem to bounce off the ceiling. There'll be times when we don't feel that God is good. And it's at times like that that we need something much stronger than a feeling. We need something that shows and demonstrates that God is good. And what the angels are singing here is that the baby in the manger is just that. You need to be shown that God is good, they sing. You need to be shown that he's generous, he's wise, he's merciful. And you need to be shown that because you're not feeling it at the moment. Well, then look to Bethlehem, because that is where it is on show. If you're not feeling it, look to Bethlehem. But I said that God's glory is not just about his character being made visible. It is also about it being celebrated, it being delighted in. And actually, there is a sense of that whenever a child is born. You know, when you hear about someone having a baby, someone in your family, someone in your church family, perhaps, when you hear about it, and when you meet that baby for the first time, you don't just go, oh, well, that's very interesting. I will make a note of that and file it away in my database or my filing cabinet so that I've got the information somewhere. Of course, we don't respond like that, do we? That's not our reaction. Rather, we say, wonderful. I am delighted. I'm thrilled to hear this news. Well done. And then we say, isn't he beautiful or isn't she beautiful, regardless of whether or not we actually think they're beautiful. It is the done thing. But if that is our reaction to the babies that we've met, how much more should that be our reaction to the birth of Jesus? Not just that it's information that we might file away and try and remember, but rather that it is something to be delighted in. So look, the first thing the angels sing about is how the birth of this child shows and celebrates God's goodness. That's what glory to God in the highest means. But that's only half the song. Because it then goes, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. There is the second thing that the birth of Jesus brings about. Peace on earth to those on whom his favor rests. Now we need to understand this right, because actually that phrase could be misunderstood. There are all sorts of things we could get wrong. Firstly, we need to understand this business about those on whom his favor rests. Because we might be tempted to think that this suggests God is kind to some, but not others. There are some on whom his favor rests, but not the rest of us. But actually, we need to read that verse alongside verse 10. And in verse 10, the angel speaks of the birth of Jesus being good news of great joy for all the people. All the people. God's generosity is flung far and wide, but not everyone wishes to receive it. So it's not that God is kind to some but not others. Rather, what the angels are emphasizing is the basis of the peace with God that we might enjoy and that they are singing about. What they're getting at is that the reason we have peace with God is because of his favor resting on us. It's because of his generosity. It's because of his grace. It's not because we deserve it. So it's not at all that God is saying, oh, I'm not very pleased with Clive because, I don't know, he's chosen to be a traffic warden. But I am thrilled with Alice because she's chosen to be a nun. Alice can have my peace, but not Clive. That's not what it's getting at all. It's not God rewarding the good and not rewarding the rest. The point is that peace from God comes not from earned merit, but from God's generosity. God's generosity. And what is it that's meant by peace? If that's what his favor means, what is it that's meant by peace? Peace here is fundamentally about restored relationship with God. It's about there being no conflict between us and God. Therefore, it's about forgiveness. It's about being reconciled to him. It's about the peace that we can have in our soul because of the peace that we have with God. So if I can paraphrase the angel's song slightly, it goes something like this. Glory to God on the highest, and on earth, people being reconciled to God because of his kindness. That's what the angels were singing. That's the second thing that the birth of Jesus brings about. Our sin forgiven, our guilt washed away, our stains erased, and us being welcomed as God's child. If the first part of the song is about God's goodness being shown, the second part is about our lack of goodness being dealt with. God's goodness is shown, our lack of goodness is dealt with. And we need to remember that just as much as we need to remember the first part. In fact, there are two things about that we need to remember, aren't there? Firstly, we need to remember that we can't deal with our lack of goodness ourselves. It took the birth of Jesus. We need him. We need his mercy. We need ultimately his atoning death on the cross. And if we look for forgiveness or peace in anything other than the baby born in the manger, then we won't find it. But secondly, We also need to remember that because Jesus was born, if we have put our trust in him, then we really are at peace with God. So often our consciences and the people around us and the accusing voice of the devil, so often they will all combine to try and tell us that we can't be loved by God. Everyone else can be, but not us. Somehow our sin is too great. Our failure is too significant. But no, because of the birth of Jesus, there is peace on earth among those who have received God's kindness. Because of the birth of Jesus, we can know that God is good and that we are loved and forgiven by him. Now that, surely, is a song worth singing. I don't particularly mind what tune you set it to, but aren't those lyrics ones to be sung? God is good, and we are loved and forgiven by him. God is good, and we are loved and forgiven by him. Regardless of what we feel, that is true if we're trusting Jesus. Now, as I close, let me ask you whether or not you believe that. Do you believe that God is good and we are loved and forgiven by him? Do you believe that God is good? If so, sing it. Sing it. And if your circumstances or anything else are causing you to doubt it, then sing it again. Sing it until that song gets into your heart and you do believe that God is good. And do you believe that you are loved and forgiven by him? Again, if so, sing it. And if you doubt it, sing it until it gets into your heart and you do believe it. If you are trusting Jesus, then you are loved and forgiven by him. Now, I know there may be some folk here today who are not sure about all this, who are not sure if this really is who God is and how he really feels about us. If that's you, we would love you to come on the Christianity Explored course that we're running in the new year. Our hope is to start it on the 20th of January, and it's 7 weeks really exploring the main claims that the Bible has about Jesus. And it's done in the context of the opportunity to ask any question you like and to examine the evidence for yourself. If you are not sure that God is good, and if you're not sure that you are forgiven, then we'd love you to come on that course and find an opportunity to explore it further. Do just grab me afterwards, tell me that you'd be interested, and we would be thrilled to sign you up. But I've spoken now for long enough, and it's time that I draw this to a close with a prayer. So as we sit, let's pray. Father, thank you for how those angels all those years ago sung of your glory, sung that you're good, and sung of peace on earth through your favor, forgiveness through your grace. Lord, we thank you that what they sung all those years ago was true, and thank you that it is still true today. And Lord, we pray that you would help each and every one of us to believe this deep in our hearts and to always have this song on our lips. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.